and welcome to this week's episode of Hanalyze This, the self-help podcast that just can't help itself. I am one of two Hannahs, Hannah Hart.
And I'm Hannah Gelb.
And today we are going to be talking about the ancient philosophy, the ancient life philosophy of Stoicism. What does it mean? And is it any good?
What is it?
And do we? Question mark. Enjoy. Hello, my buddy.
Hello, my buddy.
Hi.
I'm so happy to see your face, although I am so heartbroken.
I'm happy to see your face and also curious about your heartbreak, but I'm very happy to see your face because you are wearing a fabulous orange short sleeve flowy button down with pineapples all over it. And I think that might be my favorite shirt I've ever seen you in. I love
thank you so much. My friend.
I love large pattern fruit.
And I love a good pineapple. You know, I have a pineapple shaped lamp. And a replica of SpongeBob's house that I sleep with every night.
You don't say. You don't say. The pineapple that's under the sea?
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of feel like I would be a pineapple if I was a fruit.
Oh, yeah. Spiky and sweet, right?
That's right. Spiky and also, if you eat too much, makes your mouth kind of on fire.
Yeah.
No. Wait, that was weird.
Yeah, wait a minute. That sounds like an allergy, actually, my friend. What?
Oh, gosh, really? Wait a minute. Everybody pineapples? In the whole world, if you eat a ton of pineapple, does your mouth feel like just like kind of overcome with pineappliness? I mean, not like it's on fire, but like incredibly tanginess?
I don't know. You know, couldn't tell you. I'm kind of allergic.
Well, I'll have to look into that.
Oh, but let me tell you about your...
Speak to me of heartbreak.
Gosh. Yes. Well, apparently we just live in a world designed for one type of person. And I went out today, April 5th. Today's April 5th. To find a calendar slash a planner.
Right, because as per last week's episode, in case you missed it, or weeks past episode, wherein Hannah told us of her incredible desire for a planner and finding the perfect planner, the Hunter Green, soft, pliable, foldy, good, just really good planner with the weekly and the this and the that. Mm-hmm. However, it arrived from the manufacturer completely blank, which is a terrible.
Unheard of. I should tweet Moleskine, right?
Yeah.
So I went to the local art supply store. I went to Barnes & Noble. I was like, after wandering around, I was like, oh, excuse me, do you guys have calendars? They're both like, no, we kind of get rid of those like in March. And then I was like, okay,
well, they get rid of but they don't have planners either?
No, they didn't have any planners. Not even like half off planners. I mean, it's only the beginning of April. They're still
also like what? I honestly, when I think of planners, I don't think of them as like
yearly like things.
A yearly thing. Yeah. I think of them as like whatever. Like you get a planner.
Like
that
maybe,
that month part in the back that's printed all small? Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, what if you're like, oh hey, you know what? I'm starting a new life and it's October and I want a planner. For like the remainder of this year, like who's to be? Why are you judged so harshly?
I can't even believe it. I can't believe it, and I also can't believe that like, the planners, like my favorite planner is blank, where you get to write like the month and day at the top. Because sometimes, well, for me personally, I pick something up, don't touch it for like I don't know 2 weeks, then I pick it up again and add the date. That's why, But wow, Hannah. So, did you find anything?
No.
On your venture?
I found nothing. What's so horrible is I did find a big... So Barnes & Noble had like a bunch of Moleskine just journals, but no planners. They were so, you know.
Wow.
You know
you
what?
You didn't find...
I bet if I went to like Target, they probably have them, right?
I don't
They're
know.
Like, we don't get rid of things by month.
I don't know what to believe anymore, dude.
Right.
Okay, but Gelby, I'm going to ask you this again. You didn't find anything at all?
Good point, my friend. love you so much.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I just hope you all have a friend like Hannah Hart in your life. Okay, so I am not completely without calendar nor planner, because a while back I did, speaking of not touching things for a while, I bought this ginormous calendar, like one page is like, I want to say like 26 by 36. It's like so huge.
It's huge. Yes. It's 26 by 36. It's big. And what is it?
It's quite large. It is a calendar that you can tear the pages off. So it's like a desk calendar. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wallpaper part of my wall with the remainder of this year, so I can just like see the entire year, because I think my idea is that will help me just be a little more realistic with the limits of my time, because I tend to procrastinate on life and I'm like, oh, I got time for that. It's June, you know. Normally I wouldn't really go that direction, but I think reading this book still, 4,000 Weeks, has kind of helped me. And honestly, I'm a little bit stuck because I'm afraid. I'm afraid to actually put it up and see the truth.
You know? Well, so I mean,
today is a great day to do it. Today is a great day to do it. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to send you a picture, Hannah Hart.
Oh, I can't wait. And I can't wait to see it. I have to say that something I love about our friendship and human beings in general is how we're all so different from each other. Because, like, I think that if I had that in my room, I couldn't have it in my bedroom. But if I had that, it would just really psych me out, man. A giant ticking, like a giant calendar of the weeks. I think because I like fight so hard to like be present that for my brain, seeing the compartmentalization of time in our, like the way we compartmentalize time for societal purposes, it really wigs me out. You know, it wigs me out. It wigs me out.
Dude, I get that, you know, and who knows, that might happen. And I might be like, oh, this was a terrible mistake and I have to move this elsewhere.
But hey, whatever, the real exercise is following through an idea and an experiment that you have for yourself, man. And I think that's a really worthwhile pursuit.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's like so funny how for me, I feel like people think, oh,
sometimes limitations really help structure.
Right.
Like, right. So sorry for interrupting.
Oh,
please,
no.
Continue.
I was going to say, no problem, my friend.
Have you heard the Imblenbergs are coming over for dinner?
Decorating their ballroom in the French style. Not very patriotic.
Did you see Madame Pennyworth is doing her hair in the Austrian way? And
oh,
I do
my
say, it might be because Mr. Pennyworth is a bit in the Austrian way. Shit talking, 1710. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
1875.
I hope we get to live that life truly one day.
No. Yeah.
Oh, but what I wanted to say was, I feel like a stereotype of people with ADD is that you forget things all the time. And I'm like, I literally can't forget anything, but I need a place to put it. So it's like,
I know.
For example, right now I'm like, oh my God, trip. I have this trip coming up. I have a wedding coming up. I have like this. They're all like floating in my mind. So to like see them on the calendar all at once, then I can be like, oh, okay, that's where those things go. Cause like,
yes, dude, yes. No, but dude, I literally carry a little piece of paper around just so I can write things down, just so they can be out of my head. Yeah, I know. ADHD gets a bad rap. People are like, oh, so forgetful. And I'm like, I'm not forgetting. My brain is full to the max.
Yeah.
So,
I'm like forgetting. Location... I literally can't do anything until this thing happens today. I can't do any. I'm like, oh, it's at 5 o'clock. I'm going to sit here and wait for 5 o'clock because I can't think about anything except this one thing that's happening. Can literally can't take it out of my brain.
And then by the time 5 o'clock comes, you're so exhausted from anticipating 5 o'clock that you're just like, well, can't do it.
Yeah, you're like, sorry, today's not going to work.
Okay, but we digress. So yes. Everybody, this week's on Analyze This, we are going to be talking about the subject of stoicism. Why? Because we mentioned that we might want to talk about it, and Becca made this great outline, and we love Becca, so we're just going to do it.
Yes, and in fact, Becca might be a great example of a stoic person. I don't know, though, because I don't yet know what it is, but we will find out.
Yeah. Okay. So before we take, but we, you know what? Let's get through. Let's do act one, tenets of stoicism. But before we get into the tenets of stoicism, Hannah Gell, what is your definition of quote unquote stoicism?
I guess. My idea of it from just general being alive on the planet, not any facts or reading, is that it's, you're like kind of a Jedi, where like you if you're very stoic, you are very non-reactive,
here's some limitations. Give me three words. Non-reactive.
Maybe sort of like kind of withdrawn, not withdrawn, but like
reserved,
like knowing like, well, I can't, I'm only going to try and influence things I can actually control. Perhaps.
Maybe pragmatic. Is that the word?
Pragmatic. Yeah. Pragmatic. Yeah.
Non-reactive and pragmatic. Do you want a third word? Do you want to throw a third? Make the third word a color.
Taupe.
Yeah, totally taupe, right? Yeah, I see totally that. I totally feel you.
Oh, my God. Oh, totally taupe.
Totally taupe. Welcome to this week's Totally Taupe, an exploration of stoicism.
Oh, my God, yes.
What's up, everybody? We're here, Totally Taupe, talking about stoicism. Here's mine. I would say...
I'm so excited.
Lacking... I would say... Okay, stoicism. I would say... afraid to be vulnerable. Arrogant. And burdened.
Burdened.
Man. I don't got a good impression of it. I don't got how I imagine. But like, you know, but like brass tacks of it, I would say that stoicism is what? Is people who like live a very plain lifestyle. They're like drink water and like, you know, not live a lifestyle, but I'm saying it's a very like, there's no honey. There's no liquor. There's no... There's nothing like that kind of like elevations and a still pond lacking current and movement and like lack of peaks and valleys, I think, I guess.
A still,
you know,
pond. That's such a good metaphor. Yeah.
Maybe. We don't know what it means.
Well, for what you're talking about. Yeah. And also, yes. I realized when I think of it, I think of like a rock, just like a rock in Liam Neeson form, because the whole time we've been talking about this, I'm just thinking of his Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yes. Okay, well, let's get into the outline, shall we?
Yes. I just really needed to bring Liam Neeson into this.
Okay, I know. I understand. So, according to our outline that we're looking at, there are four tenets of stoicism. And we are going to begin, before we take our first break, we're going to get into one tenet of stoicism after I say the following. Stoicism is a philosophy that gained traction in Rome around 75 AD. It attempted to lay out the best practices for maximizing your life and dealing with your impending mortality. Its effectiveness, like all instructions for living, is debatable.
Interesting. And if I do remember Gladiator correctly, I believe Marcus Aurelius, played by Richard Harris in that amazing film, I believe he was a big proponent of stoicism. I could be totally wrong. The point of this story is I like Richard Harris.
The point of this story is I really thought, I mean, I'm surprised. Isn't Gerard Butler in Gladiator?
Close. It's Russell Crowe.
Oh, I think they're the same person.
You know what I learned recently?
What? About stoicism and the first tenet of it?
No, the Latin word gladius means sword, which is why they're called gladiators. And also gladiolas are shaped like a sword.
Okay, I'm going to have to go ahead and look up a gladiola right now to confirm or deny that.
Oh, my God.
I get it, because they grow up. Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, do I love gladiolas? No.
But yes, I shall. You know what? I will read this beautiful sentence here for our first tenet of stoicism. Okay, nope, sorry, we already talked about that. Okay, so this is frightening.
I'm listening.
Number one, visualize your life without the things you love.
Wait. Sorry, well, I skipped something. And I think I said four tenets, but there's really five. So explicitly clear.
Yes.
And potentially go into our first break and then come back and start exploring the tenets. Let me say this. Stoicism has been rewritten and condensed and repackaged in lots of different ways over the last couple of millennia. But the list we're looking at today breaks it down into five basic tenets. And we're going to get to that list right after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. I'm going to ask you a question. How long has it been since 75 AD?
So if we take 2022 and subtract 75, yeah, I get like 1550.
It has been 1,947 years. According to this calculator I'm looking at.
Wait, why did I? Oh, you're right. Because the way I was saying it was as if now was the year 1625.
You know, it's hard to do math, but it's not that long ago. Can you believe that? That doesn't, I don't know, for something 1900 years, you know, almost 2000. It just doesn't seem like that long ago to me. I don't know why.
Well, yeah, doesn't. Dude, I mean, the human existence in the universe is a blip.
So why would anyone want to practice stoicism? Well, let's not judge it before we get there. Hannah Gelb, hit me with that first tenet of stoicism. Please.
Stoicizers. Number one, visualize your life without the things you love. And here is a quote from someone who I suppose was a stoic person. He robs present ills of their power who has perceived their coming beforehand.
I'm going to need you to read that. That's a quote from Seneca, and I'm reading along with it as Hannah Gelb reads it, and I don't understand it. Can you read it one more time?
Okay, yes. He robs present ills of their power who has perceived their coming beforehand. Well, so that to me sounds like he who knows shitty shit is coming will not be so sad when they do arrive.
Negative visualization. Okay, yeah, I see. So it's saying that if you anticipate bad things, mm-hmm. it won't be as powerfully bad an experience when they come. To fully appreciate your blessings, the immaterial and material life alike, imagine your life without them. I mean, I think that for you and I in particular, and potentially for many earbuds listening to this, the reality of impermanence, of transience, of you know, the coming and the going of life is not something we live without. So I think it's a little bit of a stoic philosophy, to be honest.
Like, it must be.
It must be, right? You know how I always talk about that mournful grateful, like, oh, man. Like, I love sitting in my youth. Like with Ella, like yesterday, I was sitting on the deck and it was so beautiful. And we went on a walk earlier today. And I mean, it maybe sounds a little grim, maybe sounds a little morbid, but I just love being aware. I'm like, this is my youth. This is my young adulthood. I'm 35. This is like, these are my years here. And I'm like, I love where I am today. So maybe that's what it means.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I don't think that's morbid. I think that's like, if we, one of the things in this book I keep talking about is if we were immortal, you wouldn't be able to appreciate that. You'd be like,
that's why vampires are so grumpy.
Oh my God. They're like,
grumpy little hedonists.
They're just, that's why they just, all they do is have sex and drink blood. Cause they're like, fucking so bored.
Yeah, for real.
But yeah, that's what gives life its beautiful, savory taste. It doesn't last forever, you know? There's this note that says, what things are not missed? The things that are missed are not to be taken for granted.
Oh.
There's this blog I really like called Raptitude. I've probably mentioned it, with this writer, David Kane. And I think he wrote about Stoicism, and his breakdown is, imagine that you don't need anything from the present moment. Or that could have been mindfulness. But like sitting and being like, what if everything was just as it was and I wasn't, and I didn't need to change anything in any way or try to be a different person or have anyone else be a different person. Something like
oh,
that.
Oh, I think that's coming along in the tenets. So the first tenet was simply visualize your life without the things you love. I suppose that this removal visualization, not doing it, this is not an instruction. This is, I think, implying like, if you can discern the things you love in your life from the things you don't, that is, then you can have only the things that you love and need.
Oh.
The next tenet, I think we can move through a little quickly because we talk about it a lot, is memento mori, which I never knew that's what that meant. Memento mori, meditate on death. And I will read the quote this time.
Yeah.
Let us prepare our minds as if we'd come to the very end of life. Let us postpone nothing. Let us balance life's books each day. The one who puts the finishing touches on their life each day is never short of time. Oh, I love that. Hannah, that reminds me of your giant wall calendar.
Dude, that's what this fucking book is talking about. 4,000 weeks. It's like the only way to do the things you want to do is to claim it every day. You have to just fill your time with what you want to do. You can't wait for it to, like, you can't wait for the time to happen. You can't wait for permission. You just have to fucking be like, I'm doing this now. Because that's what I want to do.
I feel like this is great because, like, exactly. You got to move slowly and steadily in the direction of your dreams. Like, a lot of media has told our generation this, like, rising star, this, like, pop star, like, this mentality of instant recognition, instant goal setting, instant goal meeting. And that is just patently untrue, you know, is that moving slowly in the directions of your goals and building the foundation, building your life piece by piece, like a beautiful mosaic. Ooh. And a mosaic that you look at every day, you know.
Indeed.
And sometimes you're going to, yeah.
In fact, yeah. That's probably why people who become sort of famous overnight often are very miserable, because... there is no foundation there, you know. And more than ever, I feel this is very poignant, because it's hard.
Hannah dropped a pen.
It is hard for me.
It looked like it fell down. Did it fall down your shirt?
No, I managed to drop it. I did get a little. Oh, thank God, it's just lint. I was going to have to tell you I got ink on the shirt.
No. Oh, phew. No, it is simply just your regular human filth.
Just some skin cells.
Tis but the shedding. Sorry.
Oh, God. Oh, okay. So I feel like right now it's easier than ever to be mad at yourself for not being successful, because in the space of the last 15 years, how many times have we read, like, well, Joanna just started putting her macrame on Instagram and now she's got a book deal and a blog and Oprah fucking buys her work. Like, that seems to happen all the time, which makes it even harder, especially for someone like me who is like unemployable. And I'm like, well, you could literally just be like, I'm going to blow balloons in a crazy way and then get famous and rich that way. Not that I want to be famous, but like, support yourself in that crazy way.
You know what's so sad is that economically speaking, fame is by no means a precursor of wealth. You know, because you can, once you're known, it never gets taken away. You never become unknown again, regardless if you make another penny. You know, there's no residual income just for being, quote unquote, well known. You know,
that's a good point.
I say that as someone who balances the books of their life every day, which I don't know, Seneca, I guess you and me, I guess that one I liked.
Yes, balance the books of your life every day. Don't go to bed being like, now I'm going to just doom scroll for an hour to revenge procrastinate because my day sucked.
Yeah. And I also think that this is really important, too, in this memento mori kind of section here that's talking about. I just love the way this is put with it. Let us postpone nothing. Let us balance the books of life each day. The one who puts a finishing touches on their life each day is never short of time. I think that what's really nice about this is that if you were doing, you know, and we use a lot of art metaphors, and it's just what readily comes to mind. But when someone is doing, let's say, a large painting or a large puzzle. Okay, well, we'll say puzzle for people who maybe don't feel that way. You can't do every piece of a puzzle at the same time. You literally can't, because sometimes the pieces that need to be in place to put in the next piece aren't there yet, I guess, you know? So like, matters is as long as you're looking at the puzzle each day. You don't have to finish it. You could just be working on one tiny section, you know?
Yes.
What's the loudest section in your life that needs tending?
That's great.
Or even a section you love the most and you just want to bask in, you know?
You know, I might even put that quote like on my wall, because you're right. Like, if you claim your life every day, you can't get to the end of your life and be like, oh my God, I did not live a life true to myself. It's like, you did the best you could.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I like to think of some days on good days. I think like every piece of art is all one big piece of art, because you can't make anything without having had made all the other stuff you already made first, you know?
I would like you to write that down and remind yourself of that fact also.
Okay, I shall.
You can't make you can't make what you made now. What do you think? Dude, I think that's brilliant, Hannah Gelb. I love that. It's true. You couldn't make the art you're making now without having made the art you made in the past.
Mm-hmm. And you can't go back in time. You can't be like, I'm going to do that again, because like, that moment's gone.
Mm-hmm, the moment's gone. Mm-hmm. Unless it lives forever inside your body and is comes up randomly, triggered by your senses. then your body gets to relive it over and over again.
Exactly.
Here we go. Number three. We're going to read tenet number three before taking another break. Hannah Gelb, your turn.
Okay, I like this one. Set internal goals and detach yourself from outcomes. Some things are within our power, while others are not. Within our power are opinion, motivation, desire, aversion, and in a word, whatever is of our own doing. Not within our power are our body, our property, reputation, office, and in a word, whatever is not of our own doing.
Epictetus. Sorry, Epictetus. Epictetus said that.
Oh my gosh.
Epictetus.
And, okay, I have to say, I once asked, so I went to a shaman in San Diego. And I went to her seminar, and it was about like building your life. And I asked her, what do you do when you have big dreams, but you don't feel like the world cares? Like, I don't know. It was something like, how do you dream
and detach yourself from the outcome?
Yes. Well, no, that's what she said. She said, yeah, dream big. Like, do all those dreams, but don't attach yourself to the results, because you don't have control over the results.
And it's not for your hands to decide, man. Like, honestly, I had this thought the other day. Actually, I had this thought moments earlier about you when we were taking our break while you went to the store to try and find your planner. I was thinking to myself how proud I was of you trying to get your planner. And I was like, you know, without moving slowly in the direction of your goals, how do I put this? Without the slow, steady encouragement of your own hands in the making of your life, you remove the possibility of serendipity. Like, who knows who you could have met along the way to this store? Or who knows what thing you might have seen? Like, when you limit yourself to outcomes alone, you remove the power of serendipity and happenstance. And like, whoa, you know, that's where, like, the fates collide. Like, that's the kind of thing that
totally.
I love.
Totally. Yes.
You know?
Yeah. That's all I think for the last, this is the last time I'll say this in this episode. That's what this book, 4,000 Weeks, talks about.
Oh, my God.
Because.
You know, I'm getting jealous. Hannah, I'm starting to feel literal jealousy of how much you love this book.
Dude, I love this book. Of course I love you more than the book. But it's like.
I don't know that
because
anymore.
Because I can't. Because that's the problem with thinking about. The problem with only linking and doing anything to what is this going to do for me? Because then you'll be like. Because sometimes I'll be like, oh, I want to do a little thing. And then my brain's like, well, what will that result in, like, some income of some kind? Is that going to make money? Is that going to, like, take
you
to your goals?
I struggle with that, too.
And it's like, oh, hi, too. I just want to do this. Remember living, like, life? Yeah. Like, not, yeah. And I think a lot of people
I really relate
that.
To that, yeah. Yeah. No, it's it. And I think it is the production validation lie that we're raised with.
Yep. The joyless urgency.
Yes. God, Hannah. Yes.
I did not.
So, yeah. No, but it's true because it's slow down. Slow it down. And that's I think, really, really beautiful. I love this quote. I want to point out something here that came to mind while we were reading it. It says, some things are within our power while others are not. Within our power are opinion, motivation, desire, aversion, and whatever is of our own doing. So what is interesting in choosing, saying that these things are within our own doing, desire and aversion, I believe, are within our own responsibility, but not manifestation. You know what I mean? Like, when you desire something, you're not like, I choose to desire this, you know? You just desire it. When you feel aversion to something, you're not like, I choose to find that repugnant. So yeah. That's not within our own doing. But the way we acknowledge those feelings, that's the part that's within our own doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. Because you might be like, I want to have sex with people of all genders. And then your brain might try and be like, that's weird. But if you're like, you know what? Cool.
Yeah, whatever. Cool.
Like, yeah, I'm going to accept that that is.
That's cool.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm on the right track or not.
You are on the right track, Hannah, because that is correct. You know, like it is that acknowledging and listening to your core self is the. Like, you acknowledge and listen to the way you want to live your life. I couldn't think of a beautiful way to put it. Pansexuality flooded my brain. But now that we have tenets number 4 and 5 coming at you fast and loose, and we'll get to those remaining tenets right after this. And we're back. Hannah Gelb, thank you so much for that beautiful intro music. I love you. I love your mouth music, baby.
Oh, thank you, my friend. I love making music with you.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to hit us with, this number 4? Oh, bro. Wait, is it my turn? It's my turn.
Yo, it's your turn. Yes. Go for it, my friend.
Man, this is hard. This actually makes me, this is even hard to read. Tenet number 4. Okay, whew, here it comes. Oh, it's terrible. This is going to be tough. Here it comes. It's two words. Welcome discomfort. Here's the quote from Seneca again. Nature has intermingled pleasure with necessary things, not in order that we should seek pleasure, but in order that the addition of pleasure may make the indispensable means of existence attractive to our eyes. I have no idea what he's saying. So. Should it claim rights of its own? It is luxury. Let us therefore resist these faults when they are demanding entrance, because as I have said, it is easier to deny them admittance than to make them depart.
Oh my gosh, Hannah Hart, I just thought of a great segment. Sorry. Okay. Well, it's a great segment.
Yes.
It's where we concoct a quote of our own.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And
dude,
then
I totally
we have to figure out, we have to figure out if we actually are saying anything or if it's just word salad.
Dude, this Seneca quote feels word salad for sure. I also think like, is this a quote from someone or is this something I just made up? That's a great segment. Yeah. One episode,
yes,
all segments.
We could be like, is it? We could even be like A, B, or C. Is this Rilke, Nietzsche, Hannah made it up and it doesn't mean anything.
Something I dreamed.
Yes. Okay, let's see. Let's fucking break this down. Okay, we studied Japanese. I think we can do this.
You know, I think I understand. I understand the two words, welcome discomfort, because in couples therapy, we had to learn this. Because, for instance, people manage their time in, people are in charge of their own time management. Mm-hmm. And as someone who has formed a monogamous partnership with another living mortal, I had to learn how to, as long as the way, I'm going to say, I have a caveat, but let me say the thing I learned, but then listen all the way through because the caveat's important. It is in, what is in their power is in their power, and my discomfort is mine. So watching someone manage their time may cause me to feel discomfort. I accept that. I increase my capacity for discomfort was what I had to learn to do. That being said, the caveat is as long as the way they manage their time is not having a negative outcome on your life. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think this idea of welcoming discomfort gets a little too close to doormat. You know, where it's like letting people walk all over you, la, 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 la. And it's like, no. It is something I need to do is extend my bandwidth, my breadth for discomfort so that I don't micromanage this person I love who has expressed to me their desire not to micromanage me. However, if it was affecting my life, then I would have to express back, this is now having a negative impact on me. And right. that's where you have to keep, you know, that's couple yeah. stuff, you know, or like whatever.
Yeah, dude. No, I think that makes a lot of sense because, you know, as you're saying, unless it is negatively impacting your life,
correct,
you can't control your partner's brain.
Nope.
Or actions. Correct. And to try to will surely result in only pain.
Yes. But and discomfort is something like I have a pretty low tolerance for my own discomfort in my perceived suffering of people I love. But if they're suffering and if they need me, they will ask. Mm. And it's their responsibility to ask. So I have had to allow it, just allow myself to be like, wow, I'm worried. I hope it works. I hope that some so-and-so goes to the dentist. You know, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's tricky though. Yeah. Yeah. You
I
know
mean,
what
that's
I mean?
Beautiful, dude. That's like a very, like, I almost wish there was a different word we had
than discomfort.
Like it would still mean discomfort, but it's like, cause that's like a beautiful, that's like you're making space
yeah.
for someone and you're allowing them to
tolerance.
Be as they are.
It's the word is tolerance, the zone of tolerance. This is how, we, yes, it's that how much discomfort can you tolerate? You know, and how to widen your zone of tolerance, because like a lot of times you can become a little avoidant in attachment or in having relationships with other people because your zone of tolerance is so small.
Right.
It's so tiny. It's so tiny. You know, but
wow.
Yeah, that's a whole thing. We should.
Dang.
The zone of tolerance is also a whole thing we should yeah. explore, because that was a really helpful family therapy thing that we learned, too.
You know, I just I feel like the word tolerance doesn't have the ring of like loving kindness, compassion, kindness that I would like it to. So maybe we could call it like.
But it is accurate though, man.
Schmollerance.
Schmollerance is good. Or bigger ballerance. How to ball out.
Because tolerate makes me feel like.
I know. I hate that word, too.
It sounds like I'll do this, but I don't want to. Like, I'm doing this, but your way is wrong. Like, or something like that. I know that's just the word, and we're getting off track. But that's great, dude. You know?
I think tolerance means the time until you hit capacity.
Ah.
In my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think of it like alcohol. Like my alcohol tolerance became so blurry to me because I lost my understanding of what my capacity was, which is why I am I'm like doing 0% drinking. And honestly, it really appeals to my vanity because I haven't had a drink in like a month, and like my skin is fantastic. My skin's fantastic. My energy level's way higher. My emotional regulation, way more steady. And my muscles are like, I mean, alcohol really makes you puffy. I'm like, where's my muscle definition? Oh, there it is.
Yeah, dude. I mean, to speak truth, alcohol, nothing good comes of it, really.
I know. My current state is that if we go out to dinner, or if I were at, like, if it's a fine, I mean, I'm not going to pass up a fine beverage, but by eliminating drinking at home, it's fucking great. I like it a lot.
Oh, yes. See, yeah, I don't think, you know, it doesn't have to be like an all or nothing, but yeah, I think.
Yeah. Wild.
Although sometimes I do remember that alcohol exists and I'm like, oh, thank God. I don't buy alcohol. I just don't. It's just not a habit I'm in. So sometimes good. I'm like, wait, I can go and buy some beers. And then I'm like, yes!
Don't do it, dude. I did that. And it's way too easy. And it is poison. And it doesn't help.
Indeed, it is poison. But gosh.
But just let your vanity keep you from it. Okay. Truly. Right. I'm going to allow it.
But man, once you get 1.5 beers in, then you're like, I have no problems.
Seeing that, yeah, and that right there is a problem. And that right there is a problem. Which leads us, it's a great segue, Gelby. Take us through to number five.
Number five. Oh, vigorously pursue character and virtue. Every day I reduce the number of my vices. That is Seneca. Okay, I don't think I reduce my vices every day. But this is kind of cool. So our notes under this tenet say, a question to regularly ask yourself is, what would my best self do in this situation? And I kind of like that. Mm. You know, if you can, because I think it, even if, let's say, the question is annoying, just asking it is a good way to, like, take a pause between thing and first knee-jerk reaction. Or, you know what I mean? True. Or what would the, I would say, what would the person that I want to be do in this situation?
There you go. What would my best self do in this situation? And leave room, just in case the answer is, oh, well, my best self wouldn't be in this situation. And then quit your job, end your relationship, do whatever it is that your best, you know, but like, don't let that stop you, right? Because then sometimes if you're like, well, what would my best self do in this situation? You'd be like, this wouldn't be the situation if I was my best self. And then you're like, oh, wait a minute.
I just talked myself out of it.
Yeah. Ding, dang, dong. Well, that's too much. Anyway, la, 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 la.
Yeah. Whoops.
But I like this. Vigorously pursue character and virtue. I mean, look, I was not expecting to find us at towards the end of our Stoicism exploration and find myself so charmed by the tenets of this philosophy. But truly, you know, I had to make room. I was really, really scared to, and I'm going to bring it back to alcohol again. Mm-hmm. I was really scared to ever, like, do zero alcohol for a period of time. In the same way, I'm always on the precipice of becoming a vegetarian. Because I think that if I stop, if I do zero, but I'm a month in now, so I'm like, oh, well, I'd be someone that's like, oh, wait a minute, that's poison. No, thank you.
Wait, so the fear is realizing that there is, wait, so wait, what is the fear exactly? Being like, the fear is, why did I ever do that?
The fear is never drinking again, which is silly, you know, but like, and you know, everything, blah, blah, blah. But no, really, sometimes I don't make, not sometimes, this is too broad a statement. With this specific thing, actually also with the food elimination thing to figure, I was like, well, if I ever do an elimination diet, what if, you know, chances are I might find out that I can't eat a lot of different stuff. Lo and behold, That's what happened. And then, so with alcohol, I was like, well, if I stop drinking for an extended period of time, I might, you know, just like really not ever really care about drinking anymore.
And that would be undesirable.
It would be different. It would be different. Sometimes different brings discomfort.
It is. You know? It's true, my friend. It is true.
You know? Luna.
Whoa. Oh, I thought that was a rooster.
It's not a rooster. It's a puppy wanting to chase a squirrel, letting me know that there is a squirrel outside the window. Luna. Okay. My tolerance for her. Let's wrap this up, Kelby. Let's wrap this up. So what, Hannah Gelb, hot take on stoicism.
Well, I got to say, there are parts of this that I think are very helpful. Like, of course, I think like, having goals, having dreams, remembering. In fact, we will not live forever, because if I can say this, I think a large chunk of our current culture wants you to think that you literally will not die. If you like buy the right stuff, eat the right stuff, take the right shots and the right pills. Also, don't ever think about death. Buy a new car. and also the fact that we just don't ever see age or dying. Like, have you seen an old person lately? Like, have you ever?
I think that I am very surprised. We went into this with a lot of like vibe energy, but right now I'm like, oh yeah, no, I think that's not so bad.
Yeah. Oh, and this is a little note from our tenant five. Which was. Vigorously pursue character and virtue, which I really like because it's just very energetic. It's like vigorously, you know, with vigor. One of the notes was, what good shall I do this day? And I think I really like that too, because I feel like when I'm very stuck in my head and getting bogged down with all these thoughts, I'm like so self-obsessed, you know? And if I'm like, you know, what's something nice I can do for someone else? That really like takes a lot of the pressure off.
Oh, God, that is so true. You know,
which I imagine is also a reason people have kids, because you're like, oh, wow, I don't have to think about myself at all.
Ooh, ain't that just the way? Hey, habadi. Well, listen, earbuds, what do you think about stoicism? What are your thoughts? Which of the tenets did you enjoy? Do you have further things you'd like to discuss? Please let us know.
Do you in fact, have a PhD in stoicism and would like to perhaps correct us?
And you would like to shake it in our general direction? Go for it. But either way, this has been another fantastic episode of Hanalyze This, our weekly podcast that is delightful and absolutely great. Hannah Gelb, if people so desire, where can they find more of you or us or time to spend together?
Well, they can find more podcasty things on Twitter at Hanalyze Pod. We also have an Instagram at Hanalyze Pod. And I just did a very cute story today of Fiona. And yes, so you can explore both of those wonderful worlds for more Hanalyze-y content.
And you can also join our Patreon at patreon.com/HanalyzeThis and get access to our exclusive Discord. Huh? You like a Discord? If you want to continue conversations further, do it, man. We have got a great, great, great Discord, a great group of people, a great conversation happening, and we would love for you to be a part of it. So please, for as low as $5 a month, go ahead and sign up at patreon.com/HanalyzeThis and get some physical perks, but those sweet, sweet digital perks as well, aka the perks of people, man.
Community in your life.
The perks of people. Yes.
The perks of people. Well, I feel great. Hannah, thanks so much for being here. I love you with my heart.
I love you. It's so wonderful to see your face, and I miss you so much. And I know I shall see you in real life soon.
I truly hope so. We love you, earbuds. We will see you next week with another new episode of Hanalyze This.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.